Mics are on, right?
We good?
Yep, we're good.
All right. It is 6 o'clock on Monday, June 15th, 2018. I'd like to call the Village of Alloway Plan Commission meeting to order. We'll begin with roll call. Wheeler?
Here.
Kornowski?
Here.
Dart?
Here.
Norris here. Rupp?
Here.
Kowalczyk Adrians?
Here.
Nyberg?
Here.
Item number two, modify or adopt the agenda. Does anyone have any changes to the agenda?
Move to approve.
Second.
All of those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item number three, Trevor?
Yeah, you'll have to table that. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Move to table.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Item number four, announcements. Trevor?
I have one, and then believe Brett has one. We do have a new event being put on by our Parks Department. It's also being sponsored by Alloway Animal Hospital, but it's called Pooches and Pints. And it will be Thursday, August 2nd in Greenow Park. The Parks Department is going to fence off the area where you can bring your dogs, let them run around off-leash. They're going to have a live band, some beer being sold, and then food trucks as well. So I believe the event starts at 3 and goes till 8. So.
Tomorrow night in this room at 5 o'clock will be a press conference unveiling of a conceptual plan for the GBCI property, what it could potentially look like. So just wanted to bring that to your attention. So tomorrow night at 5 o'clock, the open house will stay here till 7 o'clock. So the event is from 5 to 7.
Any other announcements? No? Okay. Item number five, public appearances. I'm assuming mostly everyone is here for an item further in the agenda, but if you're here just for a general comment, please come to the podium and state your name and address.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I'm the former co-chairman of the Village of Alloway Bike Ped Committee. And there's a number of items on tonight's agenda that you should pay close attention to: pedestrian access to sidewalks and schools and parks, particularly the old Town and Country property. There's scheduled to be a new sidewalk put in on St. Mary's Street. And there's no way to get to St. Mary Street from that site. So there's a lot of a lot of projects going on in the village, and we need to make sure that pedestrians have safe access to the schools and parks. Thanks.
Anyone else? Moving to number six, action for the petition from SKB Terrace LLC requesting conditional use permit approval for residential and office mixed use on parcels AL-125-7 and AL-125-8 located at 3241 and 3245 Riverside Drive, vacant property south of Compassus. If they're Trevor, I don't know if you want to lead us off with that.
Sure. Do you want me to? Are you going to recuse yourself or,
yes.
or not?
Yeah.
It's up to you.
Yep.
Just so you know, I'm the vice chair. So she's going to recuse herself from this item. So you're stuck with me.
So in your packets, included a brief memo about the site. This is the site that the Village of Alloway acquired a few years ago. It's on the south side of the village on Riverside Drive, about 1.76 acres, and we've had it listed for sale. We do have an accepted offer on the property, and the buyer is looking to do a office or mixed-use development on the site with office on the ground floor, anywhere from, I think, 5,000 to 10,000 square feet, whatever the site would allow, and then about 2,000 to 3,000 square foot owner-occupied apartment on the second floor. I believe they're working with Somerville to come up with some renderings and do some of the architectural work on the site. And from what I understand, that work will begin this fall. So once that begins, they will likely come back to the Plan Commission and go through the necessary steps of site plan approval and that sort of thing. So right now, there's nothing real specific as far as plans developed for the site, but the general concept is an allowed concept through a conditional use for a commercially zoned property, and this property is commercially zoned. So that's about it. I believe someone from Somerville is here representing SKB, and I guess if you have any questions, we'll do our best to answer.
Does the representative wish to come up and talk or answer in case we have questions? Introduce yourself.
Sure. Matt Schachner from Somerville Architects, 2100 Riverside Drive, in Alloway here. Maybe just a point of clarification. Looking at two suites on the lower level, 2,000 square foot each approximately. One would be owner-occupied, commercial business suite, and the other one would maybe be a tenant space, it sounds like. And then the second level is 3,000 to 4,000 square feet of owner-occupied residential.
Just one unit?
One unit, yeah. So it's really kind of a work and live setup.
In the attachment that we have from the owner, she mentions about 40 employees. Would they be all at this location, or would they be?
Is that correct on their 40 employees? You know, I was informed about 8 or 10. You know,
oh, 8 or 10.
We haven't started on design work yet, but okay. I don't know if it's a typo.
The 40 is spread.
Probably spread out because SKB Properties, I believe, handles properties throughout
and so they have
Northeast Wisconsin. So in office, I believe, is about 8 to 10.
8 to 10.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any other questions for the applicant? Thanks. If anyone is in the audience that wishes to speak on this, we can suspend the rules. Is anybody? Just raise your hand if you want to. Okay. I'll entertain a motion to suspend the rules.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Fine. You can come up, please, and state your name and address for the record.
Hello, I'm Megan Farr. I live at 3230 Tam Chandra Court, so my parcel of land abuts this new property. It sounds like a great development. We were in favor of the last couple proposed as well. My question kind of revolves around what the village stipulations are as far as like berm and tree line, as the other parcels that line their Riverside Animal Hospital and Compassus have an active berm. From the alignment of the lots, our two lots are deeper, so there certainly would be room for a berm. We also have a pretty robust tree line, so I'm just wondering if that's written out or what the plan would be.
So right now, with what we're doing is approving just the use and the site plan. We'll come back later where we address those concerns regarding a berm and screenage so that the properties behind wouldn't necessarily.
So it's not a set village stipulation. It's something that goes per package.
No, when commercial abuts a residential lot, they are required to screen it. I believe it's like something 80% opaque or something.
Okay.
There's a combination of different things.
Yeah, you can use a berm, trees.
Trees, fence.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, and once we get past this stage, then, as Trevor mentioned, the next one would be a site plan review and come back
yeah,
and there'd be details for us all to review and make a judgment on. So this is just preliminary.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
John Harrington, I'm 560 St. Mary's Boulevard. I also adjoin that property. And I was just wondering about the second story building, what kind of privacy, but apparently that is going to be addressed to some degree. I have an 8-foot fence that's on that property line I just put up, and I was wondering, does the change of the zoning have any effect on that?
It should. This is just a conditional use permit, so the zoning already exists for this type of use.
Okay.
So the zoning is fine.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak? If not, then I'll entertain a motion to take up the rules.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We're back in session. Comments from the commission or questions to Trevor?
How quickly do they plan to move on? Are we going to see site plan review soon?
I believe this fall.
Okay.
So it'll be a few months yet, but I believe they want to start next spring, maybe. So.
Remind me, how long is the conditional use permit good for? Is it a year?
It's, I believe it's technically 6 months, is when they have to, they don't have to have an occupancy by 6 months, but I believe they have to start construction within 6 months.
It's kind of close. Okay. Is that going to work?
I don't know when I can talk. Or you know, I believe the idea is to do some groundwork, like work on moving earth and stuff, probably in the fall, but waiting for construction until spring.
I don't have any other comments.
Anybody else?
I just have a comment. It's our comprehensive plan that we're looking at. Trying to use more mixed use, and I think this is a great opportunity to include that. So it's good to see.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I think it's a good use for this property. It's been vacant for, I don't know, long before I ever moved to town, I think. If there are no other comments or questions, then I guess I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second.
So we have a motion and a second to approve the conditional use permit. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? The motion carries.
Petition from Clarence Edwards requesting conditional use permit for approval for residential and cafe mixed use on parcel AL-920 located at 1253 South Irwin Avenue, property at the corner of McCormick Streets and Irwin Avenue. Trevor?
Sure. Let me just pull it up real quick.
So this is one, if you were on the Plan Commission, I think last year we
a couple years ago.
The residue, yeah, we talked about and approved at that time for members.
Coffee shop or something?
Yeah, exactly.
It was a coffee shop.
Yeah. Yeah, that's correct. This was something that was zoned single family. It's commercial property that's had a number of different uses over the years. Sat vacant past that period of existing non-conforming use. So then had it be rezoned commercial in order to be occupied as commercial use. It was rezoned commercial last year, and now the current interested party is looking at having a guitar shop, cafe, and owner-occupied apartment in the rear of the building. They are shy just a few parking spots. There are some public parking on quasi-on-street, off-street parking. It's a unique situation. It's in the public right-of-way, but they're off-street, kind of, that they are able to utilize, and our public works department is okay with that, with just a few small modifications. They will then do, I believe they need an additional 4 parking stalls, so they are planning for those in the rear of the building, as shown in this site plan sketch. Because they abut residential lots, they are going to have to do some of the screening and everything that's required for that, too. So, I believe the time frame on this, they're hoping to get started pretty soon, like this summer, I believe. But Mr. Edwards is here tonight if you have any questions.
I just want to state your name and address.
Lance Edwards. I live at 1975 Riverside Drive in Ridgeway Drive in Dupuy, sorry. My wife and I found this building, and we're in a position now that I have been building and repairing musical instruments for 25 years, and I have a following and felt that at this time would be a good time for me to open up a shop. I have an internet presence also because I build guitars from scratch also. So it would not be a situation where there was going to be hundreds of people going in and out of this building. We realize that it's a residential area. But the fact of the matter is that my wife has got a lot of experience in restaurant management, restaurant. She's a great cook. And we're hoping to get on the coattails of the coffee shop business. We have been planning this for many, many years. And the only thing that would stop us would be the fear that we would not be able to pay for the building. Our hope is that you'll allow us to build an apartment in the back for my wife and I, and it would take about 800 square feet on the side where the guitar shop would be, and that would leave her with complete a little bit over half of the building for the coffee shop. We're hoping to make an impression in the neighborhood and turn this into something that can be a community building. We both grew up in neighborhoods where people looked after each other, they knew who your neighbors were. I mean, we all grew up like that. And hopefully something like this might be able to bring a little bit of that back. And that's what we're asking for, so.
Thank Yeah, well, I'll make a motion, or does anyone want to make a motion to dismiss this?
I'll move.
Second?
Second.
All in the favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
I'm the husband of the lady who owns the building, so I'm basically the one that takes care of everything. And I was involved with Trevor and Sarah about this time last year, wanted to change it into a very similar thing. So you probably remember me. I know you've been on the board a long time. So I just got to say that this building is right. It's very unique. I bought it to try to turn it into an office distribution center for my 3 stores. Those plans fell through, and it's been very difficult to rent. It's because of where it is. So I think this is our best chance to make this a viable property rather than basically it's going to sit empty. You know, I'll maintain it, of course, but if we can't sell it, you know, it's really, I can't rent it because of, again, the unique layout of that building is unique. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Don, if you wouldn't mind just saying your name.
Oh, I'm sorry. And I'm Don Pavelka, 3341 Libel Street.
Is there anyone else? No? Move back to regular session?
So we should.
Second?
Yep. I'll second.
Okay. All those in favor signify by
aye.
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 Okay.
I did, if I can, I did get an email earlier today. The resident at 1224 South Irwin, so a few properties to the north, and they're in support of the project. So.
Can we have the name of that resident?
Sorry, Devin Yoder.
That's what I thought it was, but he was in support of the last project as well. I think the main issue we had with that project even was the parking issue. So if we can work out, sounds like a small enough operation that it's not going to really be an issue, but I think that was one of the stumbling points we might have hit last year, and that's when Mr. Yoder was here and lives in that area and was just pleased to have a coffee shop he could walk to. So.
I don't have any comments.
Sounds like a good idea to me.
It's good to see empty or vacant properties being taken up and utilized.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of a neighborhood I grew up in, places like that around. So I'm in favor of it.
Is there a motion?
Motion to approve a conditional use permit.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Item number 8, petition from David Coles for requesting preliminary plan development district approval for a mid-rise residential condominium building in parcel AL-79 located at 2222 Riverside Drive, the current Mariner Motel property.
Yes, I believe we had referenced this project in the past, and it's been out there in the media and everything, but this is property currently at the old current Mariner Motel, or old Mariner Supper Club is what I meant to say, but the current Galley 57. The plans that I provided in your packets are dated, and we do have more recent ones up on the screen. But essentially, it's for a 34 unit, I believe, 35 unit residential condominium project. It'd be 6 stories from Riverside with below grade parking. Facing or below grade parking. So there would be a combination of units in the main building, and then there would be more townhome like style units facing the river. We do have representatives of the project here tonight to answer further questions. Again, this is step one of 4 public meetings. Right now we're reviewing the concept. So does the concept fit? Does the number of stories fit? That sort of thing with our comprehensive plan. More site-specific details. They've provided quite elaborate details in their site plan already, but more site-specific details will be looked at further down the road. So from here, I'll go, assuming approval, it'll go to Village Board, and then from there, it'll come back to the Plan Commission for those more specifics.
I would think one of the first things we have to look at is the height of that building, because it doesn't fit in their current zoning. Am I correct, Trevor?
That's correct. Commercial zoning, which this property is currently zoned commercial, allows for four stories from the road grade.
But through the PDD process, you can...
Correct. Yeah, that is one of those allowances that the PDD offers, concessions, give and takes, that sort of thing.
I know it's been mentioned in here, but I guess also being on the Park and Rec Committee, I have to make sure that we secure trail access in that area. That's a heavily used section right through there. I know people are getting access there currently, even though it is private property, but we need to, through this process, secure some safe way for people to get down Alloway Avenue over to the Fox River Trail in that area.
With the four-story restriction, what was the, I'm wondering why that was, you know, what's the thinking behind it, and what overriding concern would there be for us to override that? Why would we override it if that's, because that kind of open, then we do PDDs, seems like for everybody, everything that's come through, and then so then it's basically not going to be the restriction anymore, and so I'm concerned about that. That maybe that's something that needs to go to the board is, you know, do we have a four-story restriction or don't? And maybe they need to decide it rather than us through this process. I mean, I don't know.
A few things. So the PDD is specific to each parcel. Other types of things you could where you might have to worry about setting precedents or that sort of thing. But with PDD, it's unique to every situation. So you're essentially writing a zoning code specific to that parcel, and allowing one thing you might gain trail access. It's part of that give and take through the process. So where you might, through straight rezoning, the developer would be restricted to four stories, but the village couldn't necessarily require any sort of trail access or some sort of public amenities like that. So that's a part of that give and take that's great about the process. But it is something, I guess, to consider. Our fire department did review, and they said they are just slightly below the high-rise requirement, and that their trucks would be able to handle the current height and maneuverability. The only concern they had was with the slope, and I think you're going to have that with pretty much any development there.
How much taller would this be than the building next door? Because I've been down there looking at it, and then there are a couple of other taller buildings there, and I just kind of was trying to get a... Because there are taller buildings that probably have been there a long time that probably don't meet that four-story requirement there, that that would this one be way higher and out of the ordinary of what's already there? Do we know?
I believe the Shank building is five stories.
So this would be one additional story kind of above that?
Right. And that is, too, something to consider is the area surrounding. Other areas, six-story, and I'm not saying six stories is appropriate, that's for you to decide, but in other areas it might be less appropriate because you're going to have single-story or two-story buildings directly adjacent to it, so it's going to really stick out.
Trevor, is there anything... Any other allowances that we'd be given? Because I read in there that they wouldn't quite be able to quite meet the green space. So I'm just wondering what other negotiation we have with allowing the trail access. So you could almost say, okay, we can go go maybe one story past the four-story requirement and then also give you some leeway on the green space, and then that could potentially, is there any other things that we could, I guess, negotiate with that they've been asking for?
I guess you could really ask for anything.
No, I mean, in here, what they've asked for that is beyond what we
could. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. It is, like you said, the green space. Height, and I believe they do meet the parking initially.
Okay.
Initially, they were thinking a little larger, and I think they scaled that back to meet the parking needs. So
okay.
I think they have the minimum of two per unit.
Question on the two per unit. Those are underground. Those are underground reserve parking spaces. Is that correct? But then on the plan, we see there's 45 or so external or surface parking places. Why? I guess the question is why so many? You know.
I guess it'd have to be something that maybe
we can
the
ask
developer could answer. Yeah.
Another comment is, you know, we advocate for use of the Fox River Trail and we call it an amenity, but we have such limited access that, again, people are illegally accessing that trail, you know, parking in places that are not, and that creates a lot of difficulty for property owners. There's a liability issue if someone's there that's not supposed to be there on their property. So I think we really need to have that be the thing that the village gets in the negotiating process to allow a PDT like PDD to go through like this. Somewhere along the line, we have to say, yep, we need a trail access, and this is how we're going to do it.
Originally, there was the street went right away, went all the way down, I think, a long time ago, didn't it? I mean, at some point it was given back to them, but I think at some point there was another all the way down to the railroad.
I believe it's a private road, and there used to be the private road sign. I think it said Mariner Street or something. You can see it if you look at it. If you go back a few years on Google Maps in the street view. At some point that was removed, but it was, according to our records, it was a private road.
Does the developer or architect want to come forward and speak, or the owner?
Good evening. David Coles, 2080 Greenleaf Road, DePere. I'm the property owner of a corporation of AL79. I bought this property in 2001. Unfortunately, it was kind of, we wanted to do pretty much what we are proposing here back then, but we bought it the week of 9/11. Things kind of went backwards for a few years, and we ran a motel and leased out the restaurant. And about a year ago, we decided to start feeling out the process of what to do with this. We had the corridor study going on, the new TIF district. I thought, well, now's the time to do something with the property. It's an aged building. Motel has 26 units in there now, plus the restaurant. So there's a lot of coming and going there now. And we wanted to figured condominiums would be the best for the area, so because it creates, you know, individual property owners instead of apartments. Luxury apartments are a hot commodity right now. Condominiums a little different. This is a project very different for the whole area. It's a mid-rise. There aren't any of this size in the area. And it's kind of know, what we planned on doing initially, and with the trail, initially when we bought the property, the trail was a big problem. It was pretty new. We had a lot of vandalism down there. It wasn't really being used, but now we consider it an asset. We do have people parking in our parking lot day and night, all weekend, and it's private, and Schenck has the same the same parking lot. We kind of merge, and people just use it, and we let them. Insurance company don't really know what they would say about that, but we also allow people to use our wharf just for sitting out there, and people fish off it, fish off our property down there. And that's something, you know, that we would consider trying to make some type of access to the trail. What that is, we have to figure that out. But we do consider it an asset now. Unfortunately, when the railroad went through, or I shouldn't say that, when they built the trail, the former owner, where would you like the trail to go? And McFadden said, well, push it down towards the water. So as a result, we have two easements across the property. We have the railroad easement, which will never go away, and where the trail is, which used to be part of our actual property. So we have quite a large easement there now. But it is what it is. I suppose we could petition to move the trail back to where it was, but we don't really want to do that. Parking is driving the project. In the condominium, everybody wants two indoor parking spots. In our earlier design, we couldn't get that. We also found that this size is pretty much what will work from a monetary standpoint to make it work. We found it isn't much, I don't know if it's one story or half a story taller than the Schenck building next door, because their stories are a little different, if you define stories. We have to kind of have our architect figure that out. But it's what we want to do. I think it'd be great for the community. Get quite a few more residents, obviously tax base. And I know the plan would be to also have some slips. I believe we're allowed six at this point due to our frontage. If we want more, the DNR has some type of system where they will allow you to have more if you make some open to the public. And that may be another thing that we try and figure out with trail access, maybe a couple parking spots somehow down there for public slip. We have to create one or two transient public slips so people can use the dock for whatever. Any questions?
Have you talked, as far as like the access to the Fox River Trail, there's several buildings in that area, and it is quite steep where yours is. Have you talked to the owners of the other property that maybe they could come up with one solution with, you know, a sidewalk in front and one access to the trail within, you know, of that corner, so that when people come across, that they could go down the sidewalk and maybe go down an empty space that's down farther on another property?
We have not. I figure that's kind of putting the cart before the horse. But maybe not.
I mean, but that's, I'm thinking that's something that could be thought of in the future, because I know
that's
one of the things. I'm the secretary for the Friends of the Fox River Trail, and we try to encourage that, you know, let's act together kind of a thing, that maybe it could be, because it would be to the benefit of all the property owners in that area to have one dedicated access instead of having people parking here and parking there, and, you know, and then you could say that's where you need to go.
Yeah, I understand that. If with this project, there will be less parking on our property for the people that park there now, mm-hmm. illegally, I should say.
Yeah.
Schenck may not like that, because then everybody would park in there a lot. So I don't know. It's a tough situation. I mean, everybody wants to be down by the river.
Right.
Unfortunately, it's all private property. Maybe you should turn the reformatory area into a park down there and just complete it all, and everybody could just go down there.
Yeah. Well, that, yeah. That's
just a thought time.
But that's not a bad thought, though, because we talk about the trail access, and I'm not saying turn the reformatory into a park, but we talk about the trail access over and over again. We all want it. But it seems like we run into private property difficulties when it comes to anybody actually wanting to put it in and take care of it. So what is our strategy? Is our strategy to, I guess, try to acquire easements, try to dedicate right-of-way? I mean, we need some sort of coherent strategy about a connection to the Fox River Trail. Because I don't necessarily believe that the private property owner should be taking care of that for the public. I'm not saying that's everybody's opinion. I'm just saying it's my own. That if we really want to make it happen, then we need easements and right-of-way and not private property owners putting it in themselves.
Well, it could be, I mean, for some property owners, it could be uninsurable for their property
right,
as well.
Exactly.
So that would deter buyers from these properties potentially, too. So
it just seems
don't,
like it's
don't bring it up, though.
Right.
I guess as an alternate view, I see it as a great private-public partnership to work on this, something, a project like this together to be able to, you know, meet the needs that you want as well as the public needs and have a good private-public
partnership. But I think it's got to be an easement, right? I mean, or it's got to be the village spearheading, so talking to the property owners and trying to get them together to come up with some solution for one access, that should be the village talking to those property owners. And public-private partnership is the village kind of collaborating and coordinating.
That is a discussion we've had with David and his partners, as well as anyone else that has approached us about building along the Fox River, because that's something that we do want, and it would be something that's very similar to what was done on Heritage Hill. It's our responsibility to maintain.
Right.
And I think if you have that agreement, whether it's an easement or outright purchase of that property, it makes it a little more viable to get it done. Because if it's put back onto the property owner,
right,
then they're going to have the interest.
I think one of the problems we're going to have is that the way it's being used now, it's almost like a park down there. I mean, people use our half of they come down the private road, which is half ours, half Shanks, and they use both parking lots. If we do this project, you know, it's going to be a much narrower use. If Shane does something with their building, if they have to sell theirs and build apartments there or whatever, I mean, it's going to narrow the use for the trail to just bikes or just pedestrians. Because right now, people park down there all day, weekends, and we just look the other way.
Well, no, that Ruby area, there's a lot of people parking down there and fishing. I mean, that's what happens. So it's naturally turning into a public place anyway.
Right.
Well, the thing is too that I think we need to preserve the bicycle and pedestrian access for the people that live on the other side of Riverside Drive. But once you get in your car and you put your bike on your car, going down to the De Pere boat launch or going, you know, down to Green Bay is just as fast. And so we don't necessarily need to have the parking and getting the bikes off the car where you are, but we do need to have the access for the people at the apartments at St. Joseph to be able to walk down that they're putting up, to be able to come walk down there and cross, or the people that use the bike lane and the street. And so the loss of parking spaces for using the trail is not a huge issue to me, because once you're in your car, you can go another 3 minutes and be somewhere where you can park
really
close to the trail.
No, I understand.
But it's just that those are very attractive and convenient.
Convenience, exactly.
But, yeah, and so if the owners do something and make them, you know, put them off limits, that's fine. You know, they can do that. But it's preserving the pedestrian and bicycle access so that you don't, basically so that I can leave my home and ride down the Fox River Trail that I live less than a mile from and not have to put my bike on my car because I don't have any way to get there. So that creates, you know, if we create that access, there's going to be less people who feel a need to park there because they'll be able to leave their house and not have to bring a car.
Yeah, no, I understand. It's like the people that use it, it's a secret. Don't tell everybody.
You know, I see a benefit for the residents as well, because on the Parks Committee, we've talked about once we have some kind of public access to the Foxborough Trail here, then we can start looking at ways to get people over Riverside safely, whether it be tunnel, bridge overhead, but we can't really look into those things until we're sure that we have a connection there to get people safely to the trail. So once we can get that secured, we can get safe access, and then your residents have ability to get across Riverside safely as well and, you know, participate in activities that will be going on in our great restored Webster Avenue corridor.
And get the
Everything's
kind of
residents.
Yeah, the other way. People can walk from the condos up to Webster Avenue too. They can
go to the East River Trail too.
Yes.
I guess, you know, the bottom line is we're willing to try and work something out down there, just so everybody knows what we're up against.
Thank you.
I appreciate that.
One comment that I was thinking about, and you mentioned that, you know, 5 stories or 6 stories on your property may not be the same as 5 or 6 or 4 on the Schenck building, because the height of the floors might be different. It's an older building. It might be good to just know the actual height of the Schenck building.
Well, and our architects
that's,
here.
That's why you have an architect.
We'll lay that in,
yeah, it's just something that, you know, so you might
not need
to have that 4 versus 5 versus 6 if you've got a building next to it that's going to be taller anyway. I mean, it might help in the discussions going forward.
And on that note, I would also say that obviously we're in an area that doesn't affect residents. What they're looking at on the river, all our residents are across the street, and everybody's probably got family there, but it's in the cemetery. So it doesn't affect anybody's view except commercial guys across the street. They're the only ones.
I have a question about the underground parking. Is the whole building footprint underground parking, or is it to one side or the other?
Well, it's not really underground. It starts because of the slope of the land. So Riverside Drives would be at, if you can pull back the front.
Great.
Our drawings in our packet aren't accurate, is that right?
Correct. I have a new one for you here. I'll get it. That would be your 2 levels of parking, so you can kind of see how it lays into the building on the lower end of it.
I got one for everybody. Okay. It's about 5 pages in.
It really wouldn't change.
Is that the whole building footprint then?
Yes, okay. The whole building. Actually, it actually creeps over a little to the south on this end right here. Our entrance will come in. This is the building footprint would end about right here. So this kind of just hangs over. Yeah, you see?
Okay.
See that kind of how it hangs? Oh, you can't really tell on that view.
Okay.
If you go to
this
view, you can kind of see where we hang over a little bit.
Okay.
This would be the lowest level of parking. And this is actually on first level of the hotel right now.
Okay.
So if you go down to the river, you would be looking at this being above ground. Correct? Right? So there really isn't any underground except at the level that it is now.
It's
so
there'll
be two floors that are below the street level.
Below Riverside Drive.
Right, below Riverside Drive. So that's how the slope of the property goes.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
So are you almost, I'm trying to picture, so off of Riverside Drive, then are you going kind of in a into covered parking at that point, or is there kind of surface parking right off of Riverside?
Riverside would have surface parking in the entrance to the second deck of parking. So if you look
okay.
at it from the standpoint right here, this would be our surface parking on Riverside.
Okay.
And you kind of see we're up yet. We're down kind of below the grade level. We drop that to try to get our heights to the mount. You would enter the second level garage here. The first level garage, you're going to come down the hill and then enter in the basement. I'm going to call the basement the garage.
Okay. Oh, so
they'd
have 2 separate entrances.
They would have 2 separate entrances. It's not a spiral. So it's 2 levels. One would be off of Riverside. The other one would be underneath on the side view. So if you went to...
It's like a walkout basement.
Correct, to a degree. Except the first level, you're going to enter at mid-level of the... So if you look at it from this standpoint, you would enter the garage Riverside here, come down the hill, and then enter the lower level right here. So So we got to get that grade to get it down to that level.
The hotel is split level, so the lobby.
And then this will get down
to the second level.
So the third level of the building would overlook the townhouses. So the townhouses would be at level one and two, basement, garage, and then two, because there's such a slope in that hill that's there.
So the reason I'm wondering is, well, maybe I should. We're getting short. So I guess I have a follow-up question with that. So the reason I was asking that, and this is thinking out longer term, but maybe if there's some way to kind of coordinate things. On the Parks Committee, when we talk about getting that trail access, if that was negotiated, a tunnel was one of the things that we were looking at. And I was just kind of curious how that would work in if we'd have to move the tunnel, you know, away from the building, basically, because you'd have underground parking, but which would be fine. I mean, that we talked about that we could, you know, potentially move off.
Nobody gave that secret up to me yet. So.
Not working out the tunnel, but I'm just wondering if, like, let's say there was a tunnel there, would it be basically coming into your underground parking at that point? If it were to come across down alleyway, straight up into?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
You'd have to kind of come over and look at it. It's the way the slope of the land is. It's different. I know Ryan from the former architects might be able to answer this question better.
So between the street level and then pretty much the bottom side of the development, it's almost 18 feet that you go down. So you've tucked the first floor and a half essentially below grade. So that's the one level of parking and the second level of parking below it. So from the street level, part of it is the vehicles are coming down the street. The last thing you want is those lights shining into the windows of the first floor of the lobby. So by sinking it down, we hide some of that. But it also puts the first floor of condominium apartments up high enough that they also aren't looking at the street lights as you're coming down the street. And then by nestling it into it, we cut down on the mass of the building from the outside. The reason why the building appears fairly tall in the renders is a slender building. So we had an opportunity to make it wider. Perhaps earlier renders you saw was a wider, squatter building, but it got skinnier. It's not much taller than it was in the original renderings, and it's directly in line with what's happening across the river on the other side. I won't name the name of the community over there, and even further up the street from us here, they're doing the same thing. So as far as making the best use of the views, and the reason why Dave feels comfortable with doing this sort of development here is that there aren't any real neighbors to bother. We aren't impeding anybody's views. We aren't putting people in shade and shadow on the other side of the street, and we're making the best use of being able to look up and down the river.
Yeah, that's great.
But yes, like if you were to put a tunnel in underneath, yeah, you'd be coming in on
right
a lower level.
Stop digging.
Back to the drawing board.
Time to stop digging. Yeah. I like your rooftop unit there. I think I'll take that one.
Yeah.
I just looked at the.
We'll share one.
Yeah.
So do you have sales already for these? Do you have contingent sales on some of these?
We have a number of pre-sales. They're just reservation deposits. You can't really pre-sell them. Okay. We have tons of interest. A lot of the entrance is, get down the road a little further than we'll, because it's a 2-year project. So most of the people that are interested have homes, downsizing, when do I sell my home, that type of thing. So the interest is there. It's just we need to start the process now to see if we can actually do it. Any other questions?
I do not, as a conditional use in this area with what we're doing. It fits almost perfectly with what we had planned.
Thank you.
Sounds like our main concern is trail access.
I think it's a good project for the site, but I'm still concerned about the precedent of overriding the four stories. And so I think we just need to tread carefully and really think about it. And it does, you've got tall buildings next to it. I mean, it makes sense. But are we opening a Pandora's box I think we have a good enough reason to override it for this one project, but I just wonder how that's going to affect other projects in other areas down the road. I'm concerned about that.
I think we have to trust Trevor's comments about how each PDD is unique and stands on its own merits and doesn't really form a precedent for the next one. If we believe that we can operate that way going forward, then I think it's a good plan too. I think it's, like I said, I'm going to put in for that top unit there. The one with the hot tub.
So we have a, like you said, there's a four-story limit, but is there an actual, like, height limit to in our village ordinance?
There is. I don't know the number offhand, but I can find it here.
I was just curious. I mean, like, obviously the fire department says it's in their limit, so I would assume it's not above that.
Six
but
inches, right?
Yes, well, 6 inches.
And that is one of the benefits of, a past village project that has been completed is the partnership between Green Bay and the city of Green Bay and the Village Valley Fire Department that we do have access to those size trucks. If you have other questions, I can certainly look while discuss.
Does anyone have anything here? Otherwise, I'll just open it up. Yeah. If there's anyone that would like to comment, we can suspend the rules.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, if anyone wants to come forward.
Tomorrow, 2339 Open Avenue. I'm the co-chairman of the Village Bike Ped Committee. The comprehensive plan, the corridor study, all call for somehow getting access down to the trail and the pedestrian access and the bicycles for the neighborhoods. That's very important. And if you want to have restaurants and that type of thing going on, we have some restaurants that are expanding and doing very well down there right now, even though we don't have official access. So, you know, that's what you have to watch out for. Looks like a great project, but at least pedestrian and bicycle access somehow getting down to the trail is important. Thank you.
Anyone else? Go back to regular session.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
The verdict is 50 feet is what is allowed. And this property is 65 feet.
So I guess, you know, what we have to
feet's not much.
Yeah, do we have down the road, will that have to be an issue that, you know, we'll overcome then, I assume?
Yeah, and the financial viability of the project on that site
right.
requires it, so it's
right.
Who's that?
Okay. Anyone else?
Nope, we're good.
Motion, anybody?
A motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. number nine, action to amend the chapter 475 of the village ordinances, article 1, authority, purpose, and in interpretation, and B, article 2, general provisions.
So as mentioned in the memo, this is something that was discussed at a village board meeting recently, and it was brought to our attention in May. St. John's Homeless Shelter operates through conditional use through the City of Green Bay. A homeless shelter from November 1st through April 30th. Through that program, they provide a lot of services to those residents. This year, they want to expand the program outside of just those months. And they have adopted a model that's used around the country. It's called COTS, and it stands for Churches Offering Temporary Shelter. And it's basically a bunch of churches banding together, and rather than it being just under one roof, it's under several models. It's something that, when we were made aware of it, there's a number of things that we had to look at further. It includes zoning, different fire protection measures, and building codes. And so this is something that they believe they're only going to want 1 to 2 weeks at a time at a given location. I believe Resurrection and St. Matt's are both churches here in the village that have generously offered to house residents. They are bused from St. John's Homeless Shelter to these locations in the evenings and then taken back in the mornings. And so this ordinance, I guess, is to allow that type of model in the village. There would be a further permitting process where our fire department, a DEO officer, and a building inspector would go through the locations, identify everything, and make sure everything's safe. But zoning-wise, this is something that would allow that temporary type of use.
If I can just add, what they're looking to do only is for maybe 8 to 10 residents. I mean, it's not a lot of people.
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, I've seen the overcrowding at those shelters, and any way to alleviate that is going to make them safer and more comfortable for everybody. The only concern that I have, and I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong, but I wish that there was a way that we could either reword or come up with a different solution. I hit a D under 475-6.1. Mm-hmm. No homeless shelter shall operate more than 14 days in a calendar year. That just seems restrictive. You know, in my mind, I don't know if you guys are
saying that. Yeah, twice a season then, because it's November through April, so it doesn't round up the calendar year. So
yeah.
So it'll be twice.
This is just in the summer.
The winter.
The winter.
No, summer.
Oh. I think it's
the program. The program COTS would run when St. John's is closed.
Oh, okay.
That's why it's, you know, that they're in the limited amount of people.
Okay, so once per year will be 2 weeks per
right.
Calendar year. Okay.
So, like the wording, it says a single shelter can't operate, so this could, you know, be at one place and then move to another place and then
correct.
Another place.
So Resurrection once, St. Matt's
okay.
Once per year.
Okay.
So,
so far in Alloway, it's just Resurrection and
yeah.
St. Matthew's
so
have made that commitment.
You have two places. So that means that a person is homeless, they've got 28 days worth of that type of shelter every
in
calendar.
In this area,
yeah.
Green Bay,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's just Alloway.
Yeah, it's just.
That is something that mentioned there, 18 or 16 different churches in the greater Green Bay area that are participating in this.
So Alloway's just helping. They're just supporting
right.
By doing what they can.
And is that like just the general sort of, I guess, restriction on the the cots is 14 days, or is that what we're kind of, you know, is that what's happening everywhere? Or?
They I believe they asked, they initially asked all the churches for a week period, and there have been several churches that have offered 2 weeks.
What if the church offered 3? Would we say no?
Or change it again?
That's what I'm getting at.
Right.
It's how you word that.
Yeah, I guess I threw in the 14 because that's currently what is being asked for by the MICA Center.
I mean, but just so that they know if they need a third week.
Would it help if we put consecutive?
14 consecutive days?
Then if you needed to do it another week at the end of the year or something where you need to fill in?
Whatever it takes. I mean, I just don't think we're going to enforce it.
Yeah.
So.
The only other comments when we circulated this through the fire department and other staff members was somehow mentioning and whether it's setting the exact amount of individuals. I think there's some sort of state code that says 15, or if you just reference in subsection 475-6F, if you just have another number in there that says number of people anticipated or something, that way we at least are aware of how many they're planning. But again, speaking with the MICA Center, it's a number that varies every week.
Oh, I'm sure. What, can you just clarify, is this over the winter or the summer?
This is over the summer.
It is over the summer.
Yes.
Okay.
I guess it's not. It's not specific in the ordinance.
Okay.
It's not specific in the ordinance, and okay. It could be written to be specific.
Something like this is hard to be specific about.
Right.
You know, that's why we've just gone with that number. If anything we can do to help and not be restrictive on that would be better.
For our purposes, do we need it to be a certain limited number of days? Like, does the village care if it was 28 days? Is it kind of just up to the churches at this point, or?
I guess it would be, I believe there should be some sort of restricted number.
Okay.
Only because in walking that fine line between a permanent facility that then changes the use of the building.
Okay.
There are quite a few different fire and safety building safety codes that have to be met. Some of those can be addressed by other ways, by other means, like having someone stay up throughout the night, that sort of thing, if it's a temporary situation. If it becomes more permanent, then you have to have fire suppression services, you have to have directed paths of egress, and things that cost quite a substantial amount of money.
That makes sense.
I think really my point was just I don't want to put the code enforcement officer in a weird situation if it's the 15th day and he or she feels obligated to go and say something or anything. That's not our intention.
Mm-hmm.
So if you feel comfortable with it, whatever.
We do have a resident in the audience that has experienced with this in another church. If you have any additional questions.
I think it's a great program.
We wouldn't mind his input.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Do we need to open it up?
You should.
Motion to suspend the rules?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Just come forward and state your name and address.
John Harrington, 560 St. Mary's Boulevard. My church is Trinity Lutheran Church. I'm head operations down there. We've had cops there before. Everything was handled professionally. The residents were very orderly, A couple came on their bikes and asked where they could put their bikes. And there was not a single problem other than maybe some of the orders. There was enough churches asking to, we've taken 2 weeks. We took one just a month ago and we're taking some in October. That they had an overwhelming amount of churches asking to take the ones. So I don't think you're going to run into a problem with needing more than just that. We asked if we could, actually, because it was handled really, really well. They're in by 9 o'clock, out by 6 o'clock. So it's just bing, bang, boom. I've got them on camera, and it's because we were watching to see how this would be, and it's very, I mean, it's just from the time they get them up to time they out the door, it's a 30-minute bang, boom, done. Everything's cleaned up, so there was no problem in the neighborhood at all. There was no garbage left around or anything like that. Most people didn't even know they were there. So I think you have no problem whatsoever. I would have no problem, and I had no problem with them. I think they're doing a really terrific job, yeah. So if you have any questions.
So you said you would have liked to have had them there longer?
Actually, we would ask if we could have a third week. But there is more than enough churches asking for it. So.
Okay. So you don't think there's any need for more than 14 days?
I don't think so. I don't. From my understanding, there's more churches asking to take them for both weeks throughout the city. The reason that some of this took place, from my understanding when talking to them, they had some people, homeless, that were trying to get out of the rain, climbing the dumpsters, and one of them got killed, and the dumpster picked them up and crushed them. So they're trying to give them a place to be, and that means they're not sleeping in the bushes, which we used to have a big problem with that over the years, and that seems to have stopped now. So it's doing, I think it's going to actually make it a lot better. You have a lot of homeless that will just sleep anywhere they can find a place to sleep, and now they'll be in a place. Not all of them will go, but most of them will, and it's worthwhile. They had male and female. They kept them separated. So, like I said, it was really seamless, actually. So I really don't see a problem in any way, shape, or form.
We've had problems in Alloway with people using the bathroom at St. Francis Park.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know when they had to change when they locked the door, because they knew when the door locked, and people were living in the bathroom down there. So there is a, even here.
And that will help alleviate some of that, because now they have a place to be.
The one I am a little concerned, because I know some people who live around St. John's, and for people coming and that to make sure there's security, that they're not like going. I know they don't let them drink like on site, but I know that some had been like hiding alcohol or drugs in the bushes and going outside and coming back in. And so I just would like to make sure that there's security to make sure that.
Yeah, well, they do watch them in the building. We didn't have any circumstances that around us on Broadway.
Okay.
Generally, the Broadway crowd is not your best crowd, so
yeah.
We had no drug problems, no drug paraphernalia, no alcohol left behind. After they left, we had some of that, but that's another whole story. That comes and goes as it does. But we haven't had it, so I'm pretty confident that it's going to be a non-issue, to be honest with you, just from the experiences we've had with them. So, like I said, the mats are out, the mats are in, and they're out. We had 14 people when we were there. They told us we could have as high as 25 or 30, maybe. But the way it was laid out, there wouldn't have been a problem, not even for a moment. So they greet them at the door, and it's 7 or 8 where they're going, and it's pretty seamless. And they're in, the homeless that are coming in are part of the routine. They know how it goes. There's no discussion going on. It's just bing, bang, bang, done. So.
Thank you. Anyone else? We turn back to regular session. Is there a motion?
I'll move.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I'll move to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
A And just for my clarification, is that with any modifications or?
No, I, if something happens, we'll just amend it.
I mean,
we're not enforced it whenever you want.
Yeah, right. It, a lot of this stuff is enforceable through complaints.
Next step goes to the village board?
Correct, yes.
Okay, item number 10, report discussion, village projects and properties updates.
I just want to give an assurance that we're, we haven't forgotten about the zoning code. We're still working through that. My apologies, I think you delayed the project a little bit, but we're still moving forward. We're going through interviews with our final two candidates, and second week of July. And from there, we'll make a recommendation and bring that back to the Planning Commission at the end of July, and then hopefully have a firm selected the first week of August there.
As you know, as you may have noticed, the Safe Routes to School project is underway. So hopefully that'll be completed in the next couple of weeks. The Buccaneers football project has started with the removal of the building. And then the schools have both started on their projects as well. So been busy looking to bring further projects to this commission in the near future. The other aspect that I wanted to bring up is the pump house on Green Avenue. We did have it sold, or we had an accepted offer, and then through the contingencies that the buyer put on it, they were able to get out of it due to the potential cost for additional work that needed to be done in the building. But we do have another offer that's on the table, and hopefully that will continue to move forward. Should it not, we are still looking at the potential of the building has been condemned due to the condition of the roof. So we may be moving that process forward if we do not have an offer that stands up.
So that process would be tearing it down?
It's possible.
What is the use of the offer that's in? Do you know what they would use it for?
Not 100% known at this point. It would be something that would have to come back to the planning commission.
I was just curious. Okay.
And we're pretty much telling everybody that goes in there, like, what's up with it. I mean, it seems like every time somebody goes in there, like, oh, this is going to cause that, or this is going to cause this.
Exactly. There's nothing hidden there.
The walls are 2 feet thick.
Very challenging.
It was the snowstorm. Was it the snowstorm that made the roof a little lower than it was supposed to be? Yeah, the one.
So we're, assuming this moves forward, we won't have to do anything further, but if it doesn't, then we'll look at estimates for repairing the roof or raising it, and that'll be an ultimate decision what approach down the road. But we are, I think everyone has their dreamer's hats on still when they go through that building, and then they have their engineer generally bring them back.
It's not a dream anymore after you go through.
A nightmare is a dream.
If it got torn down, would that be able to be like resold as residential property then? There's not like any, because it was a pump house for when there was a well, right? I mean, is that, but there's no like official use for the village property there that you would be able to just sell the flat land to somebody else then, right?
Curious.
I didn't hear you.
You can sell it as a vacant lot.
Okay.
Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I mean that there isn't something like, yes. Like you'd have to, if you bought the property to put a house on, you'd also have a pump for a well in your backyard or something that would still be there. I mean, I don't know. I was curious that if it is an empty property, then it could be redeveloped. Okay. Anything else on that one? Okay. Item number 11, report discussion, standing committees.
I think that covered some, I think the Safe Routes to School project covers public works. I don't know, Brian, if you want to touch it on the North Crossing and progress of that, if there's any progress.
Yeah, I forgot about that one. The North Crossing, which will be by Marine Street, should be going out for bids shortly, and hoping for the construction to take place either the latter part of July or into August. That will be a rapid flashing beacon versus the Hawk Crossing that's in the south part of the village. There were several permits that were needed. I think four from the DOT and one from the DNR because there is a trail connection. So we're putting a sidewalk on the north side of Marine Street to take you down to the trail. So it's getting there. It's a good project. Again, it'll give us three controlled, we have two controlled crossings and one semi-controlled crossing.
Item number 12, next meeting date and future agenda items. So probably the zoning code will be back, and then are any of the projects from tonight possibly going to be back?
The only one, maybe the Braymore condominiums, that might be back. I don't know if anything further is needed for item number 7, and then item number 6, that will be later this fall, I believe. Mm-hmm. We might have Zamboni coming back as final PDD.
Okay. Does anyone have anything else you want to add?
I have something that I don't know if the commission might have interest in. Since we are looking at opening up our zoning and updating that, I have been working with UWC Grant and the City of Sheboygan to review their ordinances for where there are barriers to green infrastructure. And this would be a perfect time if Alway's interested in having that kind of review process. I could, you know, if anybody's interested, I could talk with Julia Nordyke, who's the representative here in Green Bay for UWC Grant, and she'd be willing to come in and give a presentation just to talk about the process and if there's any interest.
Could you say again what the process is?
It's reviewing your codes for where there may be barriers. To bring in green infrastructure into your community.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So not even necessarily in some cases you don't have to, put anything in your code to try to require green infrastructure, but just look if there's anywhere in your code that you're putting up barriers to developers bringing it in unintentionally.
It's an informational thing.
Yeah, and there's a whole document that Sea Grant put together with 1,000 Friends of Wisconsin that outlines the process to review your code to see where there are typical barriers that are in place for green infrastructure. So I guess the first step would be just, you know, hearing from her about how this process works, and then, you know, the next step would be looking for opportunities where we could have our code reviewed so that as we're going through the update, anywhere that those barriers may be in there, we could get them removed in the update.
Yeah,
that'd
be good.
Yeah. I'll work with you on that, Trevor.
Yeah.
Okay. Item number 13, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?